Father, we thank you again for this night, for the songs have been sung. Lord, we pray that we would be able to somehow or another get a little edge on those who didn't come to church tonight based on knowledge, based on closeness to you. Something we're going to face this week would help us. Someone we may face this week, we might be able to help because we gave you our time tonight, which is the greatest commodity we have, to be in the house of God. So I pray now, meet with us, bless us, and help us to grow in grace and knowledge. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight I want you to turn, first of all, with me, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I'm sorry, Ezekiel chapter 12. I'm going to Ecclesiastes. You're going to be in Ezekiel. That's where we're going to start at. But in Ezekiel chapter 12, and before I read the text tonight, if you go to Ecclesiastes, you look in chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. He tells us the time just about for everything. Time to be born, time to die, time to plant, a time to harvest. He goes through 8 verses there, naming just about everything, and certainly enough to know that whatever is in life, there's a time to do. We'll insert it in time. Time is a tremendous commodity in life. Most of the time, Bart and I go soul winning, we go in someone's house where we win them to the Lord or not, we ask them to let us pray when we leave. And most of the time, if I think of it, and I do most of the time, I pray that God bless them for giving us their time. Time is a commodity money can't buy. And when we share it, we have shared an important part of our life with people because you can't bring it back. And when we share it and use it, again, there's no way to go back over it again. So I don't know how much time each one of us have, but God does. So tonight, it's an important thing, I think, we'd be in the house of God because we're given our time. And God, in turn, will return that to us in a blessing to help us grow that may help us this week, if not certainly help us sometime in our Christian life. So time is very important because it's a commodity of life that you and I have no control over, and yet at the same time, we can control how we use our time. In Revelation chapter 10, in verse 6, the latter part of that verse, it says that there have come a time when it should be time no longer. So we know that. One of these days, time is going to emerge into eternity. And when we get there, we will be not measured by time, because in no way you can measure the omnipresent God from everlasting to everlasting. That's eternal. But right now, we do have this time. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 12, and we read down about verse 21 through a few verses, or 22 through a few verses. Let me give you something here about Ezekiel and to begin with. Ezekiel is writing in the at the time of being led into Babylon. He was a young boy, some say probably 13 year old or a little older when he was captured. And he became a prophet of God in the land that he was taken about what was going to happen to Israel. Some people say he wasn't much older than this, and others say he could have been up to 25 years old when God called him to be a prophet for him. But here he was, a young man, wherever at, given a prophecy from God, trying to tell the nation of Israel what God was going to do, the reason that he had brought them into bondage where they're at, and what was on the schedule for the future. When a prophet of God speaks, he speaks something of the future as in the present, because that's the way God is. And yet, because he speaks for God, it will happen. I mean, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus said he's coming back. And he hasn't come back yet. And because of that, we'll laugh at today more so than ever before. It's not much you see on television or as you see in talking to people nowadays who are coming to this mentality that religion is really for people who are weak, who are not strong, and who don't know very much. And yet, we know when you know him, that's all you need to know. I'll be honest with you. That's all you need to know. Now, we need some things to know about survival. I understand that. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, what a sad thing that people would learn and be very educated and become whatever they are in this life and don't know God and end up dying and not inheriting that which God has prepared for his children. So Ezekiel was carried away in Babylon, and he's preaching not only to the 10 tribes of Israel, but to Judah. He's preaching to the whole, he's prophesying to the whole house of Israel. Now, God has spoken and said the things that was going to happen for the future. He's told them why they're where they're at, and they've settled somewhat in the land, and they seem to be doing fairly good. And yet, now, he's talking about things that God was still going to do because the fulfillment of captivity has not completed yet. You get to chapter 12. And he's talking about things God's going to do for the future even before the fulfillment of the captivity. And so time has gone by. And we come down to where God is fed up what he's hearing in the land of Israel, who are, and also that's in the land of captivity of the Babylonians. And they're saying, where he is a prophet of God, is speaking what God's going to do, they have their prophets that's coming and denying every bit of it. And they seem to have more clout because they seem more reasonable than the prophet Ezekiel. We also know that Daniel and other prophets came up in this particular time, contemporary to him. But in verse 22, we pick up now, he says, "Son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel saying? The days are prolonged, and every vision faileth." He said there is a saying going through the land that what his true prophets are prophesying are, have they have no vision at all. In other words, they prophesy things that are not proven as of yet. Therefore, there must not be nothing to it. The prophets who denied the true prophets were prophets that gave pseudo-information. That is, they gave soothing information. And God Almighty said this in verse 23, "You tell them, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease." Hey, you call it a proverb all you want to, but what Ezekiel has prophesied is going to happen. It may not happen in your day, but it's going to happen in my timetable, not yours. And if I said it, it's going to happen. This is what God said. And he said again, "You tell them, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision is fixed to take place." And he said, "For there shall be no more any vain vision, nor flattering divine nations with the house of Israel." Divine nations is that which is saying smooth things, tickling the ears, as the New Testament puts it, that get them to think that things are not as bad as God says they're going to be. In verse 25, he says, "If I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house," talking to Israel as a whole, the nation of Israel, "will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, they," watch this now, "they, the house of Israel, say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesies of the times that are far off." Why, Ezekiel's prophesying something that's way on. It don't have anything to do with our day. If it has anything to do at all, it don't have anything to do with our day. It's something way yonder is going to happen. You don't have to worry about it now. Kind of like what people are saying now. The only thing about it is they're brave enough now to deny that God exists anyhow. And so therefore, what we're seeing is not something that God is trying to get our attention, but just happened because that's the way things are in nature and so forth. And then he goes on and said, "The vision come, that he seeth it for many days and come, and he prophesied the times afar off. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more. But the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God." And I want to assure you, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, the very words that God has spoken about the future of our day also are going to be done. Now, why do you say that, preacher? That has to do 2,500, 2,600 years ago when God was talking to Israel. All right, let's turn, if you will, before we do an exposition on this, turn over to 2 Peter with me, chapter 3. Now, we're coming down to about, 1,940-something years ago when Jesus was here. And he's died, been buried, rose again, gone back to be with the Father. And now the apostles are on the trail preaching the gospel, evangelization, trying to win people to Christ in those early days. And then we come to chapter 3 of 2 Peter, and here's where we're at even today, by the way, because what Peter spoke about and what the apostles preached and what the men down through the years have preached, what Billy Sunday preached, what Charles Spurgeon preached, what John Wesley preached, what those men preached about the coming of Christ hasn't happened yet. But it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. But we got to understand, just because God doesn't seem to do it in our timetable, it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. And here is what Peter is saying to us. This second epistle, beloved, I write now, he said, in both which I stir you up your pure minds by ways of remembrance. He said, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. And they're saying, by the way, we've got them here today too. All across this world, they're saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And ladies and gentlemen, there are people today in the name of clergy will also say the same thing. He's not coming back. We read it wrong. We missed it. And that same soothiness has been taught because he's delayed his coming. No, he hasn't delayed his coming. He knows exactly when he's coming. He knows exactly when he's coming. And just because he hadn't come don't mean he's forgot what he said. That's right. In fact, he knew when he's coming when he got back home to glory, because he's God. He knows when he's coming. And just because he don't come within a timetable that we're living or our offspring's living or our forefathers were living doesn't mean it's not going to happen. He said, for this they willingly, notice these people are willingly, are ignorant of. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then was been overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. He said this, that the God who brought the flood, and that they didn't believe it was coming either. They didn't believe Noah. And he said, in our day, don't believe what we're talking about, the coming judgment of God either. But he said, he's letting us see the parallel of that. They didn't know until it was too late, and it was too late. By the way, listen, not one of those people in Noah's day got in that ark except Noah and his family, and they got in there because they believed God to begin with. And there's not a person that's ever lived in the age of grace that's going to be in heaven either if they didn't trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because when God's hammer falls on this earth again and in this world, not with water but with fire and brimstone, I assure you not one of those who are not in Jesus Christ will be exempt from it. And also when it comes to being cast in Revelation, taken up out of hell, the fire we think of as a temporary place now until the Lord judges people and put them in the lake of fire. He said again, but the beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years one day. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise. Isn't that wonderful? You know what God says to my heart and your heart when we read that? And, hey, so it has been 2,000 years, but watch this. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise. What does that mean to you? It means something to me. The world said, it's been 2,000 years. He hadn't come back yet. You must have missed it. You're just mythical looking at something's not there. Hey, no, our Lord said he's not slack concerning his promise. You know why? Time with him is not like us. Time with him, 1,000 years, like one day. So if that be the case, he's not been gone for 2 days. If he measured like man measures. You know that? When we use time, I say using time now, because we use seconds, minutes, hours, weeks, days, weeks, months, years. When you're 16, 15, trying to get 16, seconds seems like hours. An hour seems like months. When you get 70, seconds seems like 15 years. Amen. I mean, they go fast, don't they, brother? But we're measuring time. God said, with me, it's not like that. 1 year is like 1,000. One day is like 1,000 years. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise. Some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you know what it says to my heart? It says that a person who would laugh and mock us because we look for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back, He said that what happens, he don't even realize the reason the Lord hadn't come back is because of people like them. He's long-suffering, that he don't want to see them going where he knows they're going, even if they don't know that. And they can change the course by trusting in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And then he says in verse 10, what's going to happen? The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and elements shall melt with fervent heat, that earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. And I want to tell you, there's nothing in the nuclear that man has today can even compare what this is going to be like. We think nuclear weapons now are terrible, and they are, but there won't be nothing like God can do. He can send one chain reaction through the atoms of this world, and it'll go up like a, I can't explain it. It won't be a puff of smoke, I'll tell you that. It's going to really do something and wake people up. Now go back with me, and let's see and look at Ezekiel 12, just a few minutes. My subject tonight is not enough time. Not enough time. Folks, we don't have enough time to do what God would have us to do, let alone what we would have to do. So we have to redeem our time. You'd have to admit there's a lot of things now, right now, you don't have enough time to do. You've told somebody this past week, I'd like to, I didn't have enough time to do it. You say, not me, preacher. Well, please tell us what you do. Because I'll tell you, when you're geared to time, you had to get away from it. There have been many a time you've been somewhere on something's important and it should have took 35, 40 minutes. So 45 minutes, it took 5 hours, and you wasted about 3 hours because you didn't have enough time, but you had to use it at that time. Robbed you of time. How do you define time? Well, let me give you something that's not mine originally, but it certainly makes sense, and yet it don't make sense. When you think about time, since tomorrow never comes and yesterday never passes, how do you explain them in time? Yesterday is today. Today is tomorrow. Tomorrow be today's yesterday. And yet yesterday's tomorrow be the day after yesterday. And because today would be tomorrow's yesterday and tomorrow would be tomorrow today's tomorrow, or would have been the day after tomorrow yesterday. I ain't going to say that again, amen. But it makes sense if you break it down and go through that, because it is telling us what tomorrow and yesterday is. See, tomorrow never comes, and yesterday never finishes. We're always in the present of time each day. Another definition was of time. It says it's stuff between paydays. I think you understand that. Amen. Time to a child, when you look into a mirror, though, is when you look into a mirror and you can make funny faces in the mirror. But when time comes to a middle age or older person, you look in the mirror and the mirror makes funny faces back at you. I mean, that's what it is. Amen. When I think about time, I'm a very conservative person. I'm a patriot in America, and I believe you are too, who believe in the American Constitution. And that's the reason I believe men who spent many years ago trying to set up the Constitution of our nation, and today people are trying to destroy it. I'm weary of people who want to go soft on murders or people who try to destroy our moral values that were set up even in our Constitution. Amen. I'm weary of people like that, and they seem to be weary of us, but we have a right to be that weary because we understand we have to be watched. We have to be on watch of what is coming so we'll be able to identify that which will be against God and His kingdom and His way. I know godly people are harder to arouse than wicked people. I know it's harder to jump than fall. And I know God's people are willing to fight, but they don't want to. Because we understand the fighting we fight for is the principle of God's kingdom. It's not among each other. And yet we are geared and we are told that we are to support our nation wherever we be at. And therefore give our allegiance to that, but God should be first. That's what you call redeeming the time because the days are evil. We see that in Ephesians 5 verse 16. A boss to a worker one day said this, and this is really true. This person was killing some time, evidently. And, sometimes on a job there is time that's killed. And the boss caught this worker killing time on the job, and he said to him this. He said, if you're going to kill time, try working it to death. I like that pretty good. Try working it to death. Time is very important. In Ezekiel 12, these people in these verses mocked the prophet by saying, The days are prolonged, verse 22. It'll be a long time before we fail, no matter what this prophet of God is saying. Nothing has happened. It's been fairly easy since they come into this time, even though the captivity was not completely full at this time. And so here, the visions may come, if at all, many days later, but they're not going to come now. We have the vision now, the smoother talkers say. And that helps people to encourage them at that time to get further away from God rather than... See, Ezekiel was saying, hey, let me tell you why you're here. Let me tell you why God brought you here. And they didn't like that. And then let me tell you what God's going to do in the future. And when a prophet prophesies something of the future, it's as if it's already happened. Why? It came from God. He's always in the now. And they didn't like that something for the future is going to happen, as if it's already happened. He was speaking as if it already happened, and it seemed like some few years and number of years had gone by and hadn't happened as yet, like he said it was going to happen. But if God said it, it's going to happen. And now God is really fed up with them, but he said, now you tell them what I've said is going to happen. It won't be prolonged days. And by the way, it won't be long before the Lord comes either. There's coming a day he's coming. And when he comes, I'll guarantee you, it won't be prolonged at the time he came. It'll be instant. He's coming. And one day, folks, listen to me. One day God is going to prove to this world that he means what he said and keeps his word. And when he does come back, there's going to be a lot of folks surprised. There's going to be a lot of folks surprised when that day comes. The days are prolonged. They claim that God's prophet declared destruction is ahead and things are far off in verse 27. You know, time is short. How many here has ever been to Washington's home place? You remember when you went there? I remember about a few years ago when our kids were at home, we went there. And it's, I don't know, a few years ago. It's been a good many years ago. I keep remembering that they're grown older than I was when we got married about. But I remember walking out in the home place of George Washington. Remember walking out there at the Potomac River. You remember that? And a thought came to my mind 200 years ago, George Washington walked right here in this place on this ground. He probably fished right out there in the Potomac River. 200 years ago, the reality of George Washington just popped in my mind. This is where he lived at. This is the Washington's home place. And now, 200 years later, people are going there, walking in some of the places that he was at. Went into the rooms where he actually lived at his home place. And it meant something when you look, even though 200 years had gone by. And you think there's not enough time to play around. There's not enough time. We are here only for a short period of time. Time is fleeing. Life is fleeting. What can I do? I must do by the grace of God. Understand why Paul was so concerned of the urgency of what he was preaching in his day, which was nearly about 2,000 years ago, close to that at that time. This may be the last sermon I preach. It might be the last message you hear. And I pray, oh God, please help me preach it with the urgency and the concern that I've never preached before. Let me give you four quick reasons about time, and we'll go home. And it won't take me long, I'll tell you that. First of all, would you agree there's not enough time left to put off being saved? I'm talking about time now. Not enough time left to put off being saved. It is not, if a person is not saved, don't put it off. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Do not say, well, he proclaimed many days hence. You know, I'll just put it off a few days later. I don't see it all right now. I don't know. Don't begin to make excuses for it. There is not enough time left for us not to go soul winning because God has given us that instruction to do that in our life. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Do not try to tell me what I should wear or how I should act or how I should live unless you're concerned about someone's soul. Amen. Don't try to tell me about what should be done unless you, because if you and I are concerned about how people should be, we'd be concerned, first of all, that people are saved. Because that's exactly what God is concerned about. And again, the second thing, there's not enough time left to be hurtful or unkind or critical. Now, I don't have so many words that I can use. And I know this. There's a time to be stern when it comes to help someone. But in this world today, it's amazing how it, we just heard this just this past week right over here at Smithfield Barbecue. A young boy got shot. And they think it was probably a gang thing. I don't know. But I'm telling you, something was words. Words are said, and many times people's feelings get hurt. There are too many good things to say. There are too many people who need to hear the gospel. There's not enough time to retaliate. We must serve God. If I get criticized, and I do, if I get wrong, and there's time we will be, I must not fight back. There is not time to get revenge, no matter how good it may feel. And it feels good to get revenge sometimes. But that should not be the attitude. That was not Christ's attitude. He said, be ye followers of me. And Paul said, be ye followers of me as I am also of Jesus Christ. And so when we hear these things and see these things, life is too short to say, did you hear? Do you know this? Can you imagine what I just heard? Guess what I just heard? Time's too short for that. We need to be trying to use positive things to build up rather than to destroy. And yet at the same time, when something is wrong, don't mind admitting it's wrong so that you tell yourself it's wrong so you don't get involved with it later somewhere. Satan is a sly fox. There have been many times when people criticize somebody with one thing and for two or three years or shorter later, they get caught in about the same thing. This old world is perishing. And I pray that God will help me encourage people in the Lord. Most needs encouraging rather than criticizing. Anybody can tear down. Anybody can criticize. Anybody can wreck and spread rumors and spread gossip and say, have you heard tall tales? This old world is perishing, ladies and gentlemen, and therefore there's not enough time. If we're going to say anything, use words to try to reach people for Christ because time is passing by. And then I think this, as this world is perishing, I'm not going back where a lot of Christians are by the grace of God. Not enough time to put off salvation. Not enough time to destroy people. Number three, there's not enough time left to live worldly either. Now, I'll tell you this. There is such a thing as standing. I'm going to stand for truth. Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying compromise. You never should compromise. You should always stand for truth. You should stand what you know is right. And if anyone tries to stand for something that's wrong, you have a right to defend that because we're defenders of the faith. Are you understanding? See, when you start teaching the Bible, you teach the one side you've got to get across, and then suddenly it gets so far across that you get the other side. You have to take a stand for truth, because if you don't, nobody else will. Because everybody takes the idea that whether or not you stand for truth, nobody will stand for it. But be sure it's truth. Then there's not enough time to live worldly. Worldliness will set a different agenda for an individual, a different priority. In the face of truth, worldliness, you will justify yourself not to obey God. And many folks do that. This earth is a wicked place. Most television are sinkholes to put our time in. A few years ago, children used to use their fists to settle disputes. They don't do that now. They'll use anything they can get in their hands. Girls used to use Sears Roebuck book catalog 2-inch high heels to settle disputes. Now they fight like dogs. You've seen some of the things that's going on. I've never in my life seen some things going on in this world where women fight as bad as men do. It looks like it's the thing of the day. Our adults use guns. Now children use guns. I will never forget what the chief police said here a few years ago. I was talking to him one day, and he said, Dr. Ennis, you know, he said, it's an amazing thing. A 12 or 13-year-old, 10, 12, year old, a 13-year-old, he said, is using guns as quick as anybody because they know the law. You can't do nothing with them. They're juveniles. He said, we're more afraid of being shot by a junior age than we are an adult. Well, what's happened, folks? Something's missing. There's the missing link when it comes to talking about missing link because they're not being instructed, I don't believe, what's right and what is wrong. Number four, there's not enough time to disobey God. About our life, giving our time, giving our money. Now, if you give like God says one to give, we're to enjoy our labors. God teaches us. When we obey Him in giving our life and our time, God wants us to enjoy our labors. And I believe there's many a time that those who did it early in life And later in life, you can continue to enjoy the labors. There have been times some things have been taken away late in life because when we got later in life, we didn't continue what we started in young in life. Just laying out some principles to think about in our particular day. In the face of truth, here people justify themselves before God. There's not enough time to act like, or walk like, or talk like this world. This earth is a wicked place. Most, again, as I said, television holes are sinkholes in our time. Someone said, when I was in church, I did not have anything. But now, since I got out of church, I got a new vehicle, enjoy life. Boy, this is the life. Are they going to be surprised one day? Because it's not the life. It's not the life. Sooner or later, it will take its toll. Not enough time to be selfish. Not enough time to be slothful. Not enough time to be lazy. I read a true story that said back a few years ago, there's a family that moved out. And, it must have been a small place. How true it is, I don't know, but it's supposed to have been true. A family went out west somewhere, another small town. And when they moved in, it was hard times. They were looking jobs, so many jobs around. And when the family moved in, the first day they lost, their little dog got gone. And he went down to the paper the next day and put out an ad. Anybody who found that little dog and returned it back in, there's a $25 reward for it. And the next day the paper should come out and didn't come out. And so he went down to the newspaper and he went inside and wanted nobody in there, but a guy sweeping the floor. He said, didn't the paper come out today? He said, no, sir, it didn't. He said, why not? He said, everybody's out looking for that dog for $25. Hard times make you do a lot of things, then. There's more to life than pastoring a church. Let me hear for myself. Hear this now. Please hear this. And then you can place where you're at. I thought about the last couple of weeks, though a priority in serving God is my priority. But there's more to life than pastoring a church and doing weddings and visiting hospitals and counseling people and directing a college and involved with people's life like I have to do. There's more to life than that. Unless God is being served by presenting Jesus Christ as the way of life, that is ridiculous work. Because if he's not first in that, why would I be doing the other things? Trying to merit something before God? Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's his primary thing on this earth. And if we're going to represent his kingdom, then we must find ways to do that ourselves. Our plates are stacked high. We have eaten and we find ourselves drinking and been married long enough in the things that are wrong. When we talk about enough time, there's not enough time left for us to do the things that God have us do as we insert him into our life. There's not enough time to set our priorities in wrong things. There's not enough time left not to serve God. You do not make footprints in the sand by sitting down. And we don't walk with God by sitting either. God wants our precious time. One thing I found many years ago in a message I heard preached after I got saved. God wants our precious time, not our spare time. By the way, folks, he deserves our special time, our precious time, because that's a commodity that we don't have much of, and we give it to him. So there's not enough time to put off being saved, not enough time to be hurtful and unkind, not enough time to live this world, a worldly life, not enough time to disobey God in our lives and giving him our time and the fines, the financial things that God blesses with. So I pray that may God help us to redeem our time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5 verse 16 tells us that. Now here's the thing, my last comment tonight. Many a comfortable people are living in a fool's paradise without fear or pain until calamity comes and disrupts their so-called paradise. And God's going to disrupt a lot of people's paradise one of these days. Because what he said in this book is true. He's proven that those things he said in the Old Testament about the coming of his son is true. And what he said in the Old Testament about the end of the age is going to happen. And what he did in the New Testament is as true as what he said in the Old Testament. And God keeps his word. What he has said will happen. So next time when someone laughs at you or mocks you in some way, just under your breath say, Lord, I'm so glad to know. They have no spiritual insight, so they don't know when you talk or don't talk. I'm glad to know in the Scriptures I've found the place where I need for the promises I need. And even the preachers may have said it, but even because he said it, I went to the Scriptures myself and I found those promises and I claimed those promises for the glory of God, not for myself, but for the glory of God. And to do so is to give glory unto him as we give him our time, which is the precious thing that God has given us. If you're here not saved tonight, I pray that you won't leave without being saved. If you are saved, think this week, Lord, get up in the morning time when you get up and say, Lord, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to be glad and rejoice in it, and I give it to you. Oh, I'm going about my daily task, Lord, but I'm going to give it to you. Help me be sensible to everything that I face, that somehow or another I'll be used for your glory this day. Father, thank you again as this subject of time is pointed unto men wants to die. There's a time pointed. Time to die, time to be born. There's a time to do things. We understand that. We're in time. Help us realize if I'm ever going to do anything for the Lord in time, I have to do it in the now. One day, time will emerge into eternity, and we thank you to understand in Jesus Christ, we have the peace of God that gives us peace with God, and we know, dear Father, when that day's over, then we'll enter into the rest that God talks about, even though that rest will be different because it won't need rest like the body of flesh needs. We're going to have a glorified body then. But it will be rest that we won't have to fight the sin and fight the devil and fight ungodly people in this world today. And this is not an outward fight. It's an inward fight, Lord, as we do our best to seek your face and be the vessel for you to use. Sometimes we blow it. Sometimes we misuse the time. Forgive us for that. And help us be conscious that you give us another day, another hour, that we might somehow or another grow and be the vessel that you could use for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.